Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a radio show and podcast for couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage, because that is and continues to be our story. Mm-hmm. We have miracle babies. We've adopted. We've said goodbye to some babies that are in heaven with Jesus. And through all of it, through it all, God is good. He's enough. He's your rock. You can cling to him. You can trust him. And we want to go along with you on your journey as well and encourage you as God is writing the next chapter of your story.
That's right. That's why we're here. So if you ever want to email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. That's honestly where some show suggestions have come from.
Yes.
And that's where we've heard about miracle babies, people letting us know, like, hey,
we love
because
those
of your show, we heard about embryo adoption and we were able to do that, or, however. And so we've joined.
Or your prayer requests. We pray.
That's what I was just about to say. Yeah. We've joined along people saying, like, hey, I'm just now starting this process. Do you have any advice? We appreciate y'all sharing the worries with us, but also the celebrations.
Yeah.
So today, I think this sweet girl has gotten to celebrate with a lot of people as she's walked along who knows how many ladies struggling with infertility, PCOS, which we're going to talk a whole lot about today, endometriosis, those type of things. She is a hormone expert. And so I'm just so interested. We've had her on before, Dr. Heather Rhodes. She is just so knowledgeable and blew my mind the first time I talked to her. And I was like, I have so much of the information that she shared with us, I did not know. And it really inspired me to get to know more about all the things we talk about on our show now.
So. And I'm so excited for this show because the Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Very true.
And when you feel broken as a woman and you feel like something is off, we live in a fallen, broken world, it is so frustrating. And it's nice to have somebody who has that perspective of your body was designed.
Neat it is, actually.
Yeah, and let's look at your body carefully. And we're not going to just throw expensive medications at you and try to work around, and we're not going to throw unexplained infertility and all of these labels on you. Let's look at how God made your body and how to get you to be your best self.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay,
best self. I don't like that phrase, but get you to work the way he created you. There we go.
So Dr. Heather Rhodes is with us. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast again today.
Oh my goodness, I love being here. And I was telling you guys before we officially started, like, how much I love working with your listeners specifically.
I love
that. I'm pumped to be here and chat with you guys again.
We
have had several that were like, okay, give me her contact information again. I need to reach her. So before we even get started, Heather, because we're going to get all of those emails, how can they contact you? Because you'll work with people all across the country, correct?
I do, yes. So everything I do is virtual. So the best way is just to email me. It's just hello@drheatherrhodes.com. So it's drheatherrhodes.com. And then also you can connect on Instagram. So you can pop over into Instagram just @drheatherrhodes. Same thing, drheatherrhodes. And just pop a message in there. I'm always in there. I'm the one reading them. Not AI anything of me. And those are two great ways for us just to connect, answer questions, or see, like, hey, what working together, would it make sense, would it not?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so neat. You share so much good information on Instagram anyway, some free information. Mm-hmm. And so I actually talked with a girl earlier today. She's been on the podcast, and she said she's worked with you some because she struggles with infertility, PCOS, all the things right now. Mm-hmm. And she was bragging on you because she was like, you know, even though that financially they just couldn't see how it would make sense for them where they're at in life, paying for, mm-hmm. for it right now because of insurance and all the things that you, I'm sure, hear lots about. But she was like, she is so nice to stay in touch with me. She has emailed me and just said, hey, I just wanted to check in. She was like, that meant the world to me. Yeah. That means the world to her.
You mean you Heather actually sees people, not yes, numbers?
That's right.
What? Wow, that's new to the world of infertility.
So just so kind. Because you don't have to do that. And so when she was telling me about that, I called her just to be like, hey, what do you think about the name change? Like, are you feeling this? Are
we upset about the PCOS name change?
Oh, yes. So we're talking about PCOS changing to PMOS, which I would love for you to talk about because I'm not even remembering now what that stands for. But she mentioned that she was appreciative of the name change because she felt like she wasn't represented with PCOS because it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and she has never had cyst, but she has, goodness gracious, everything else up under the sun, from not getting pregnant at all to hair growth, to being overweight, not being able to lose weight, sleeplessness, all the things. And so she said she appreciated, but that's the reason why I called her. And then she bragged on you whenever I told her that you were going to come on the program today.
Oh, I love that.
So break it down for those that are listening that are like, because before I got into the world of infertility, I'd never heard of PCOS or the now name change. What are we even talking about? Why is there a name change? Why is this so prevalent in our culture today?
Yeah, okay. So PCOS is what initially this condition started as, and it stood for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I think, like, from the beginning, there was, like, error there. And so what started happening is if you presented to the doctor with, like, a certain set of symptoms, like, let's say you had, like, five things going on, if you had three of those five kind of fit this definition of PCOS, then they would say, okay, this is what it is. Here's what you do. And that's kind of what happens in the medical space in general, not just the medical fertility space right now. But everything that's happening in your body has to be categorized so that it can be equated to a number so that there can be a charge for what the doctor's doing. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, women's hormones and PCOS really started to just kind of get these lump kind of diagnoses that you would be put in that basket. And then once you're put in that basket, the way a physician would treat you was very much limited to what their paperwork said is the way you fix this condition. Mm-hmm. And so what that did was it took away a lot of the individuality. It takes away a lot of the, hey, yeah, these are the symptoms you're having, but why? Like, what is the root of what's really going on here and how do we fix that? And so instead it was like, okay, well, PCOS, so then we have to give them this medication, and then this is what their fertility picture is going to look like. And then what started to happen, especially in the PCOS space, is a lot of doctors were like, hey, we're following that, you know, protocol, and people aren't really getting better. Mm-hmm. They're still struggling with the majority of these symptoms. And it used to be that if you had PCOS, you were just kind of told that fertility was going to be a problem for you. Getting pregnant would be hard. A lot of times people are just sent immediately to, you know, interventions like medicated cycles or IUIs or IVF. And it really was not ever looked at as something that could be reversed. It wasn't looked at as something that had multiple facets to it that you could start adjusting besides just, you know, saying, okay, let's do this for the ovaries. So I actually think my name change is great. I was pulling through my Instagram just to figure out when I said this. I believe it was 2019. I did a post that said, PCOS is a metabolism disorder. And it's really funny because the whole reason my business even got started when I was working in the Navy is that I did an in-service training for all of the doctors at our clinic just to teach them about like women's hormones and PCOS and what's really going on and how they can approach it differently than just throwing a medicine and a diagnosis at someone and telling them good luck.
Yeah.
And when I did that, my clinic was originally there for diabetes and I came in the next day and my scheduler was full for the next
day.
Those doctors had no idea how to actually help their client, like their patient. But they wanted to, but they're like, what we're doing is not working. But they didn't have time to go back to medical school and like relearn what was going on. And they recognized, hey, what I learned in medical school was this medication, birth control, fertility treatment. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so what started to happen was when I saw, wow, if just these, you know, 10 doctors that I service right here in this clinic need this much help, what about all the women across the whole country that are kind of being pushed down the same path and it's not making sense for them? So that's actually my business got born out of PCOS education, which is just like such a full circle moment. But what happened in May, I believe, last month is I think it's become increasingly more popular, mm-hmm. this discussion around what's really going on with PCOS and how do we fix it. And because of that, a lot of these different angles of the root causes of PCOS are starting to be looked at even in the traditional med space. And so they felt that that warranted a name change. And again, what it allows for is differences in how things get categorized essentially to, you know, get reimbursed for it. But I think because of that, we can also see some good coming from that because the discussion is changing. And the way it's being looked at is becoming more aligned. So the new name is PMOS, which stands for polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome. So what that's saying is basically there is a hormone component. That's what that word endocrine means.
Okay.
And then metabolic means there's a root in the metabolism. And then ovarian syndrome means that basically the ovaries are showing a set of symptoms because something is dysregulated in the way the hormones and the metabolism are talking together. And that's really great because, you know, cysts was never actually what was happening in people's ovaries that was leading to a cystic PCOS diagnosis. What was happening was the fluid-filled sacs that contain the egg was actually arresting in development. So it was pausing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't actually a cyst that was forming. It was that your egg wasn't growing at the rate it should have been. Mm-hmm. And so that correction is really helpful. And I think the other piece is when doctors start discussing something as a metabolic syndrome, it can actually open the door for how do we reverse this? Because we know the metabolism is completely adaptable. That's the best part about even the name change is that everything that's happening from a metabolic standpoint and metabolism just means it's basically your body's like budgeting system. It's like, how are we taking the energy that's coming in and turning it into usable energy? Mm. So a lot of times we hear metabolism, we think about like, are you skinny? Are you fat? Like what's happening with that? But it's so much more in depth. It's saying, hey, like, is your body getting minerals? Is it absorbing those minerals? Is your body equipped with the energy it needs to be able to pull out toxins, but then also pull in things like proteins and fats and everything your body needs to make and break down hormones? And so because we've got this new name, it actually allows us to look at all the components that could be causing the ovaries to pause in development. So we can start looking at the adrenals. We can start looking at insulin. We can start looking at inflammation. And these are all things that previously weren't really a focus because it was just like, hey, the ovaries are developing cysts, so you should fix the ovaries, when that was never really the problem. And I think it also opens the door for women to see that this is reversible. It's a spectrum, not a like conclusive, you have this and you'll never not have it.
Wow. Okay.
So insulin, you mentioned, I've heard some connections to diabetes, correct? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of PCOS individuals also struggle or can struggle with diabetes.
Yeah. So what we see happen, so the ovaries are one of the top sites for insulin receptivity, which just means that the ovaries have insulin receptors on them and they interact very closely with insulin, the insulin hormone, as does, you know, estrogen And the reason why is because your body has to be able, those two hormones have to be able to talk in order to, again, regulate available energy to the ovaries and then eventually to the placenta and the embryo and the baby. And so what we saw is that when insulin is dysregulated, it can cause a change in the way the ovaries are growing, responding, and converting testosterone into estrogen. So that's one thing I don't think a lot of people know is that all of your estrogen comes from testosterone. Testosterone is this, like, it's an important hormone. Women shouldn't really have too much of it, but the way our body self-regulates how much we have is that it turns the right amount of testosterone into estrogen. Well, what happens in PCOS a lot of times is that testosterone can also be turned into adrenal-based hormones. So when the body starts to feel too much stress, which insulin is a stress indicator, and the body's like, hey, our insulin's going crazy, the ovaries are a main place where it can recognize that's happening, then you can start to see blood sugar dysregulation. You can start to see the body holding on to testosterone instead of turning it into estrogen because the body thinks, oh, well, we're not safe. We're not stable. Our blood sugar, which is like our fuel source, our energy source, isn't predictable. So we need to have more of this hormone that can turn into a stress hormone. But if we turn that hormone into estrogen, we can't ever turn it back into a stress hormone. And a stress hormone keeps us safe and alive. Estrogen just allows us to reproduce. But if we can't feel safe and alive right now, then reproducing would not be beneficial to us. So that's kind of what's happening. And so, yeah, that's why we can see a correlation going both ways. Women that get a diagnosis of PCOS, now PMOS, are usually extremely, I don't know the exact percentage, but extremely more likely to develop diabetes down the road. And women with diabetes can usually struggle with PCOS symptoms. So we see that kind of flow back and forth. And again, both of those things are still rooted in the metabolism. So when we think about why is estrogen not, or I'm sorry, why is insulin not cooperating? Why is it, you know, not doing its job? Why is somebody struggling with insulin regulation? A lot of times that will go back to your energy levels in your body as a whole. And so that takes us back to, is your blood sugar stable from the foods you're eating? Do you have enough nutrients so that your body can actually release insulin predictably? Is there enough safety and predictability in your body? So your body uses sugar as a safety mechanism. So if the body doesn't feel safe, it's going to dysregulate insulin in the attempt to make sure you have more sugar that's able to be used very quickly in the case of an emergency.
Wow. So our bodies are very cool. Like, I mean, it's just crazy that it knows how to do that, you know, and I've honestly, you know, learning more about PCOS or PMOS now, but never really understood what that actually meant. Or
it's amazing. It's amazing that God made it to for your body to actually preserve itself.
Yeah.
So even that shows a creator who wants you to be healthy and even has fail safes for when things are broken. But obviously, most women listening to this podcast, they're like, okay, I am safe. How can I flip that
I'm
switch?
Safe now, baby, now.
Tell my body, how can I eat in a way to where my body will be safe? Yeah. And a lot of that goes into nutrition, which is a huge issue in our culture.
If I looked at it right, I think the stats now are like 1 in 8 women have a diagnosis of PCOS.
It's like one of the leading causes of infertility. And I know, like,
it's like 170 million people, women that have PCOS, I guess a diagnosis.
You're great. I think that increase has really shown up in the last few years, mainly because of our food sourcing. I think there's two main components. One is our food sourcing. So our foods aren't providing the same amounts of minerals. Our foods are sometimes infiltrated with more like chemicals and seed oils that can disrupt our hormones talking to each other.
Okay. And you said seed oils, which will you just give us a definition of that?
So seed oils are going to be things like sunflower oil, canola oil, palm oil. It's anything meant to like preserve a food. So the best foods for our bodies, especially our most fertility focused foods, are going to be things that come from the earth because the earth is fruitful. Our bodies are fruitful. And so when we are eating things that require more processing, more preserving, you know, are grown in labs with GMOs and that type of stuff, like it's hard for our bodies to take that nutrient and then turn it into what it needs to be turned into.
Wow.
And so seed oils are basically a way that things can be cooked. And, you know, like let's say a restaurant is like cooking your food, they're probably not buying individual bottles of olive oil to like heat your grilled chicken. They're probably just buying this huge, you know,
and cooking on Teflon and
Yeah. And that just, all that does, the way I describe those to people is it's like a peanut M&M. So the peanut inside the M&M would be like your hormones. Mm. And they're meant to talk to each other, peanut to peanut. But when you have a lot of seed oils in your body, it's like putting that chocolate shell over. Mm. So then your body can't communicate very well. Wow. This is actually like a big piece of the whole like peptide trend right now. Mm-hmm. Because peptides is literally just like giving your body a bunch of peanuts that don't have a chocolate shell yet.
Wow.
But the point is like, hey, you need those because your body's filled with, all your peanuts have chocolate shells around them. So what if we just took the chocolate shells off of your, you know, little peanuts that I'm saying are actually hormones, and they can talk to each other, and then your body knows when it's full, and then your body knows when to lower inflammation, and then your body knows like how to actually respond to what it's needing to do. And so the other thing that I think is a really big piece of this that sometimes gets missed, because especially in the fertility space, we focus so much on the physical, but we were made as whole humans, mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I see as a kind of like mind / spiritual root of PCOS is this safety that is found in women kind of operating mainly in masculine energy, meaning that it doesn't feel safe to surrender. It doesn't feel safe to let go of control. So when you think about masculine energy, it's really the alignment that God gave to the man. You know, we're created male and female, and the men have this aligned purpose to protect, to provide. And then I always say like to put a baby in someone. So get our three C's, right? So, but for men, and that actually happens when a man gets stressed, his testosterone increases and his libido usually increases because his body is like, hey, preserve the seed. You've got to make sure you keep the species going. Mm. Whereas women, the exact opposite happens.
Wow.
And so when you as a female are trying to protect yourself, provide for yourself, figure it all out on your own, self-preserve, then that can actually keep your, that can be a root of your body. You're seeing that show up physically by your body holding on to more masculine hormones. Whereas as a female, your focus, like your strength, your God-aligned purpose is in creation. It's in surrender. It's in rest. It's in trust. It's in, honestly, like, I want to say like support, but really it's like this flexible, free place. Mm. When you think about feminine energy, it's flirting, it's dancing, it's, you know, really just flowing. That's how women were designed. And so it's not to say you should be all of that and have no masculine energy, because you have both of those hormones and both of those energies in your body for a purpose. But when you get out of alignment and you don't even feel safe or know how to turn on that feminine energy, like it feels unsafe to rest. It feels unsafe to follow your desires. It feels unsafe to just do things fruitfully because you can. And your whole goal and purpose is this like gripping control of, I can't surrender this. I have to figure it out. I have to fix it. I have to problem solve. Then that's actually keeping you stuck from like an energetic mindset, spiritual place that your physical can't come into alignment with.
My mind is blown right now. Like, can you have like four shows on just that? That's convicting.
Yeah.
It's culturally relevant because women have been told we have to be that. Mm-hmm. And then we're actually psyching our bodies into not being a safe place to bring children. And the very thing that we want, sometimes when we're moving in an energy that God didn't give us, we're signaling our body.
What a beautiful way to look at feminism, the way that she's talking about right now, whenever our culture is feminism, like true, in the workplace.
True femininity, not feminism.
Correct. that. Yeah. But we're, in, you know, make as much as men do. You go leave the home and still work, but also have the babies and, you know.
We're going to have to dive into that topic. Yeah. We're like almost out of time.
And we literally have 2 minutes left, Heather.
But I did want to get real quickly to some practical things because I know you've created some different eating guides for people that struggle with infertility. And specifically, I think you used to have a PCOS guide. Can you tell us about, is that available on Instagram or how can they find practical
absolutely.
Tips.
So the best thing to do is just to reach out to either of those two places, and I can absolutely connect you with the resource that feels the best. We have a guide that's like easy swaps for PCOS. So it's just kind of saying like, hey, if this is the place your body's struggling at, then these are some things you can take of what you're already doing and just swap out. You know, maybe it's the ingredients or swap out meal timing, and we can kind of guide you through doing that. And then anytime we work with clients with PCOS, with infertility, we bring in, like I was mentioning, that whole human aspect. Because it's really helpful to have somebody from the outside just kind of like listen to your thought patterns and be like, oh, okay, that's like determination and discipline, and you have way too much of that than you do this like desire, patience, detachment. And sometimes people want to be in that place, and a lot of times you want to because like your feminine intuition pulls you there, but you don't know how to do it. And so we just kind of give you the how behind that.
Well, Dr. Heather, we are almost out of time. One more time, real quick, give her the email.
Oh, yeah. Hello at drheatherrose.com.
And we'll also add that in the show notes.
You will not regret if you partner with her and have her as a life coach. You will get so much help, ladies.
You guys, thank you so much for listening in to Hannah's Heart.